Welcome to Take the Red Pill,
where we explore the realities within our reality.
We are your hosts, David Deere
and Donald Dalton.
This episode, we are going to talk about quantum reality and how that is compared to the law of attraction. And this was inspired by a post that a friend of ours shared on Facebook. So, Donald, do you want to give a little bit of a briefing as to what was shared on Facebook?
Yeah, one of our friends, Lisa Stanley, shared a article from a friend that basically was saying that if you wanted to kind of get an idea of the reality you're creating, then, you know, look at your news feed on Facebook, because that will tell you what you're attracting to your reality, to your perception, to your awareness. To me, I read that and I was like, okay, I agree with the theory and I see some validity in that. But if you're basing your whole idea of what your reality is based on your newsfeed on Facebook, then I think you're having some serious problems. It's kind of like there are random things that can happen regardless of what you're doing. And it's difficult for me to put into words exactly, because it is one of those, it's like we're talking about the number one and I'm talking about 1.001. It's so close, but yet so different. And so it's kind of like there's always going to be things that you may not be attracting into your reality that could show up on your Facebook newsfeed. But at the same time, I agree that those don't happen all the time. And so if you want to get a general overall view of your what you're attracting to your reality, yeah, sure. Looking at your Facebook newsfeed for a few days will give you a good idea.
Okay. So you did have trouble with it. You said there were too many variables that were based on the fact that you hide things and that you can control what you see on your news feeds and whose friends you post and what kind of content you get and what kind of ads you get as well. The way I understood it, you're saying is that Facebook works on algorithms and works on data mining, where it basically says, okay, this is what you tend to observe, this is what you tend to click on, this is what you tend to look for. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to shoot all these ads to you based on your browsing preferences or your shopping preferences or your newsfeed viewing preferences. And you're saying, well, you can do that, but I'm not going to be aware of that because I'm hiding those particular things in my newsfeed. So you said that it was not a very good parallel, correct?
Yeah.
Okay. And my response is, I don't know if you remember, was that you are affecting your reality. And that's the whole idea of quantum reality, is by the fact that you are able to alter and determine what shows up in your news feeds and what advertisements you see and how you see them and whether or not you see them.
Yeah, but what about chaos theory? Where does chaos theory come into this? Does chaos theory have any kind of effect on the quantum reality of the algorithms of Facebook and our news feed and what we see?
Well, it ought to, by the nature of chaos theory. Well, talk about your concept of chaos theory. I mean, my concept of it is that chaos theory says that there are discernible patterns that form based on inherent formulas, but the further into those patterns you go, you start to see these what appears as complete randomness. However, in chaos theory, that complete randomness played out over time will form discernible patterns.
I look at it kind of like anything that you do on the computer or online has a math component to it. If you're looking at the quantum your quantum reality that you're creating from your Facebook newsfeed and the ads and stuff and everything else that you see on that page, then you know there's a point where you can mathematically never get to the exact amount. And admittedly, I will admit that you don't necessarily need to get to an exact amount. Like, it's kind of like, I can't remember the mathematical principle about it, but it's like no matter how close you get to somebody, you can never actually be touching them because the distance between you becomes more and more infinitesimal down to the atomic level, even when you're actually touching them. Have you heard that?
Well, so, I call it the half the distance to the goal thing.
Okay.
Like in football, I don't know how familiar you are with football.
Yeah, I'm familiar.
And for the, well, let me say,
well, soccer American football.
for our listeners who follow football as far as soccer goes.
Yeah.
So I'm going to say in American football, there is a penalty, and the penalty says that there are certain infractions where you are charged half the distance to the goal. And the thing is you will never, ever reach the goal line. If you constantly incur this penalty over and over and over again, you will never reach the goal line.
Mm-hmm.
Because you, every time you divide it in half, it gets into infinitesimally smaller, but it's, you can never divide it enough to actually get there because you're still dividing it.
Yeah.
It's the same idea.
Yeah, exactly. And so it's kind of like, well, where is that little bit of space where you can never actually touch, where, you know, that space where, to me, I see it as a space where things can happen, where things can come in, where randomness can happen and change the course of your quantum reality, even, you know, a small bit. But, you know, it's kind of like a small bit can be monumental effects in the future. If you're 22 years old and you make a choice to take this job instead of that, well, actually, that's kind of a big one. Let me rephrase that. If you kind of go to a more mundane, smaller a choice, let's say you're 22 and you decide to go out with friends to a bar, and you end up at one specific bar as opposed to another one because you decided to let your friends choose where to go as opposed to saying, hey, I want to go over to this bar. Then let's say at that bar you met somebody and they eventually became your wife and you had kids and whatnot. Well, if you'd never gone to that bar, even the slightest choice difference to it means that you would not have had that timeline where you met your wife. And
you may not have had that timeline where you met your wife.
Exactly. You may not.
Yeah. But you can't say you would not have, because there's that if there are infinite probabilities, then you have to take into account that there is a probability where the results would be nearly the same.
With the exact same person though?
Sure. Because, and then the other thing too is if you're not buying into that, then you have to throw out the whole predestined aspect.
Oh, are we talking about predestiny now?
Well, no, we're not. But I'm just I threw that out there because I know that you're married to the concept of destiny, and I'm like, can you have your cake and eat it too in this case?
Well, I think you can, because, you know, I agree with what you're saying. This goes back to, you know, stuff that we've talked about in previous episodes where, you know, there's more, you know, from my perspective, my understanding, there's more than one destiny. So if you choose from the choices you make, you're not following down one destiny. You're always going to be following down another regardless. And so, you know, that's how I can see having your cake and eat it too.
Well, I think it's a cop out to say there's more than one destiny, because you either destined to or you're not. From my understanding, I don't want to go down the road of destiny too much, but in the idea of destiny, you're destined to do this or not. Well, you were destined to do this, or you were destined to do this, or you were destined to. It seems. I'm like, then it's not destiny. It's probabilities and attracting certain probabilities.
And see, now that's mathematics, and this is what I'm talking about. Math. You can bring mathematics into this whole idea, and you can get into this really interesting philosophy of if everything is nothing more than just mathematical probabilities and possibilities and of happening, then, you know, we can take the more spiritual, interesting idea out and, you know, say, okay, it's not destiny. It's a mathematical probability.
I would want to do the same though. I would say that it's a flip flop on that. I think the science mind wants to get hung up on the mathematical probabilities. The problem with the mathematical probabilities is that no matter how small the probability is, it's still a probability. It's kind of like people winning the lottery. People say, you know, you have two schools of thought. You have people who say, do you know, it's ridiculous to play the lottery because the odds of winning are so ridiculously small. And then there's the other people who say, you can't win it if you don't play it.
Mm-hmm.
And who's right? They're both right.
Both, exactly. Yeah.
So, but of course, the thing is, if you don't play it, your odds of winning have just dropped to zero.
Exactly.
But you've affected those odds, and I'm going to take this into right into the heart of quantum. But if you do play it, that doesn't mean you will win it because you play it. It means that you have tapped into the probability of winning it. And so here's the thing about quantum is that quantum mechanics and quantum theory, it's the Schrodinger's cat thing over and over again, which basically says is that the power of observation is the effect of a quantum state. In fact, there's an article, and I'm going to have to look for this article, about saying that when we start to see a rise in quantum computing, there's going to be the belief that in order to hack and cheat is going to be very difficult to do because the quantum computing state is based on the user's observation and interaction. So in order to hack it, you've completely changed the code of the quantum computing state, and therefore you leave an instant trace and you've affected it adversely just by trying to manipulate and hack it.
This is kind of going back to the topic of what we're talking about is like, okay, so how is the quantum mechanics and quantum state different from law of attraction and everything that we know about how things work from the law of attraction side? Isn't law of attraction just kind of like the spiritual way of saying destiny, and quantum is basically saying a mathematical probability? Aren't they two words for the same thing?
Maybe. I don't know. I mean, let's break it down and explore it a little bit. You think it is, right?
Yeah, I do.
And why would you say that?
Because for me, I look at that quantum ability of things to change by observation is the law of attraction, because you can't, it's very difficult to attract stuff to you if you don't realize that there's a contrast between what you want and what you don't want.
How do you know what you want and don't want in those cases?
The thing is that goes into the whole law of attraction idea of it's not necessarily what you consciously know or you want, but it's all that baggage and all that stuff from your whole life that you've built up and everything. And I've had stuff happen where, oh, when I was a teenager, I wanted this. And, you know, 15 years later, it's like, oh, yeah, I remember I wanted that at one point. Well, at this point, not so much. People would say that's law of attraction bringing itself to a conclusion with that one desire. Well, I had consciously forgotten about that for years and years and years, but it was still in the makeup of my subconsciousness in one way or another. And so to me, it's kind of like we are a quantum being. Our consciousness is at a quantum level from my understanding of the definition of what quantum is. And so therefore, even by just observing an experience or a moment in our life, our whole life, we are creating a quantum reality. We're attracting something. We're showing contrast between something that where we are and where we want to be, or, you know, better or best, or worse and or bad and worse. To me, the whole idea of the quantum idea is it doesn't start taking effect until there's an observer. Well, we're always observing our life, so we're always attracting what's, you know,
well,
what we want, the contrast.
So what you're saying is the law of attraction is the law of observation, is what you're saying.
Well, yeah, isn't that law of quantum?
Well, yeah, the law of quantum says that, yeah, once you observe anything, you've affected that thing through its observation.
Exactly, but, so they're the same.
Well, it's like a billiard ball game. It's like you can't you've changed the state of whatever you're observing just by the property of observing it.
Exactly.
You know what I'm saying? And in other words, it's like a car accident happens. Well, the car accident happened in one state, but the minute you saw it, that changed the state that the car accident resided in.
Mm-hmm.
Because of your observation. But see, here's my issue with the law of attraction in this particular conversation, is that the law of attraction, it all often seems to me like this cause and effect thing that's going on, you know? So in the Thoughts Are Things episode, we talked about, you know, everything is a thought first before it's a reality. And my trouble with that and my trouble with what we're talking about here is that the law of attraction likes to say, well, you know, the universe basically puts out whatever a like vibration to what you're thinking. And I'm like, well, it's a chicken and an egg game again. It's implying that you think then the universe responds rather than it cohabitating, rather than occurring at once. It's always this cause and effect kind of thing rather than this idea. With quantum mechanics, everything is existing in all places at all times, in all times. So how could you say that the thought came first or the observation came first? How could you say that you observing the observation affected it rather than it affecting you simultaneously?
Well, see, then you're basically saying by the act of observing, you're opening up a door for that possibility to come into reality.
Well, and there again, the possibility is coming into reality, but are you coming into the reality of that possibility? Do you see what I'm saying?
Okay, this almost sounds like a word into semantics, and where it's just like, well, let's just take what you just said and flip it around the other way, and it means something completely different. And
but it doesn't.
Okay, so explain to me why it's not different.
Okay, here's why it's not different. And we talked about this once before, but let's use the car accident analogy. I walk up and I see a car accident, right? Based on a choice of which way I went to go. And you're walking down the street, and all of a sudden you said, I want ice cream, and you turned. Instead, you would have seen that car accident, but you turned and walked up the road instead for ice cream and did not see the car accident. So there's a reality where the two of us saw the car accident. There's also a reality where only one of us saw the car accident. And once you made that choice, you observed or actually became focused on or had an awareness, a more keen and acute physical awareness of the probability where you did not see the car accident. That happened at the same time as another choice that you are not as aware of, that you're aware of in another reality. And where I see the car accident, that split, I see it in the two realities. I also had a split in my reality to where I see the car accident when you didn't versus I saw the car accident when you did. You see what I'm saying? So my reality didn't stay stationary where yours split. Mine split, even though I was in the same situation. It split when yours split.
Okay. I think I kind of get what you're talking about there. So basically, your reality and my reality had to come to a consensus of which probability that we're going to go down that was based on our observation, which is based on our choice, which is based on our thought, which is the basis of the law of attraction.
It's based on a focus of experience is what it is. And that's based on choice. See what
exactly.
I'm saying?
Exactly. And that's the thing, because the choices that you make are based on a contrast between what you see as better or best or bad or worse. And so if you say, hey, I'm walking down the street, I'm feeling pretty good. You know what would be really good right now? Ice cream. Oh, man. Hey, there's an ice cream place like a half a block away. Yeah, let's go get some ice cream. That's all law of attraction stuff right there of, hey, I'm noticing a contrast of, hey, I'm in a good place right now. What would make this place that I'm in right now better? Ice cream. Therefore, I make a choice. I avoid seeing a car accident. And from what I understand, what you're saying is in a quantum reality, the moment I made that choice to go get ice cream, my realities split, and I observed one where I went to get ice cream as opposed to the other one that I could have seen where I went down and saw the car accident. Is that correct?
Yeah, to a degree, but I don't think I think I misstated. When I said our reality split, I don't really care for that. I would say that those both realities existed.
Mm-hmm.
But the quantum state was the shift in the quantum state was the one that you consciously became aware of or brought into your focus. So it's not that the reality split, it's that you were at a crossroad as to which reality to take. The realities were both already there. I'm not to say that they split off then, it's to say which one you chose to focus on. And it may be a greater focus that who's to say that you did not, that you were not in the quantum state of already eating that ice cream at the time that you made that decision. You see what I'm saying? So maybe you were tapped into the into that quantum state that was residing at that place and at that time a little bit further into your future.
If you're going to start bringing time into this, then we're going to have to bring in intuition. And this goes back to what I was saying a few minutes ago, where basically every action we are ever going to do has already been set out and is predestined, regardless of whether we feel it is or not. And we're just going through a play. Like, we're just actors on the stage playing out the experiences of our lives.
No, I don't think so. Okay, here is where it gets really convoluted, in my opinion. Okay. All of these probabilities exist at once. To what degree? They exist in the field of probability.
Okay.
When we realize it, what we've done is we have tapped into and given birth to a whole other set of probabilities.
But wait, right there, how do we realize it?
Yeah, that's a good question. I think it's by choice. It's by what we choose to
exactly.
focus on.
Exactly. And how do you,
but
how do
once
you make
we
a choice?
Focus on it, you, once you can't we make focus a choice, on that reality...
You can't make a choice unless you have a contrast.
How does contrast tie into this?
Because you're saying because contrast is how the law of attraction works, and is one of those key mechanisms on. This is law of attraction 101. Is there's contrast. I'm still trying to see the difference between, you know, quantum and the law of attraction, because to me they're still synonymous. But the thing is, from what I hear you saying, you're saying, well, everything comes down to choice. I'm like, yes, exactly. Mm-hmm. But you can't make a choice if you don't see options. You can't make options unless you see a contrast between where you are and what you have now.
Oh, you can make a choice if you don't see the options. There's people who do it all the time.
Oh, really? Okay.
Oh, sure. Well, if you don't see options, how many people do you know say, oh, well, you know, I couldn't help it, or I didn't have a choice? You know, somebody said, well, you know, somebody threatened to fire me, so for not telling on my coworker, and I didn't want to tell on my coworker because they're my friend, and unfortunately, I didn't have a choice, and I had to tell on my coworker because I didn't want to lose my job. Well, do you hear how many choices were made in that sentence that they didn't see?
Exactly.
Or that
exactly.
They were denying themselves over there. So I'm going to correct you on that statement.
But that's what I'm saying, though. Just because we don't see the choices, there are choices to be made. But the thing is, we have to see the contrast before we can make the choices. The whole idea let's take that first part of that statement right there is, you know, I didn't want to lose my job. I was going to lose my job. The option is keep my job, lose my job. Right. Well, okay, that's the choice. So the next option is, what do I have to do to keep my job? Tell on my coworker. And it's like, do I tell my coworker or don't tell my coworker? That's another choice right there. The thing is that the law of attraction is talking about, okay, when you make those choices, you're aware of a contrast between have a job, or let me rephrase that, have this job, don't have this job, tell on coworker, don't tell on coworker. And you're unable to make those choices unless you're aware of that contrast, unless you have a choice. And those choices are based on your options that you have available at the time. And the options that you have at the time is lose your job at this place, keep your job at this place.
And you say you can't make a choice unless you're aware of it?
Well, okay, so...
But the person did make a choice. This is what I'm saying.
Exactly.
And they will tell you that they were not aware of those choices, but they were aware of those choices. And the thing is if it implies that every choice we make is whether we admit it or not, an awareness of a choice, then it's just an ongoing thing.
So with the quantum idea, with the whole quantum mechanics and everything, that person has to be able to observe the possibility of not having a job before they are able to have a choice. Is that kind of correct of what you're saying?
Well, they do. They observe the possibility that they make a choice based on that observation.
And in law of attraction, do they make a choice based on what they want to attract into their life or what they want to keep?
You know me and the law of attraction. I think it's, well, The whole thing about the law of attraction is if you're equating it to quantum physics, then it's just about making choices. You see? Mm-hmm. So it's if law of attraction is if you make a choice, then you get what you want. I mean, I think.
Yeah, and that's what I'm saying. What's the difference between quantum observable reality in the quantum state saying, well, it's not a reality until you observe it. Well, you don't observe it until you have a choice or an option of a contrast between this or that. And to me, that's law of attraction right there. And that's what I'm saying, you know, is there a difference between the two or are they synonymous?
Well, I think there is I think there's a little bit of a difference in between the two, and it goes like this. You know, I'm just going to write a book on getting everything you want by quantum mechanics.
Okay.
And people are going to like whatever, and they'll put it aside. And well, there are some people that have written books based on that, but the law of attraction is a bigger buzzword than quantum mechanics, because I want to attract everything into my life. I want to attract this. I want this. I want this, and I can go into that whole. Paradox of the law of attraction if you want there. But with quantum mechanics is more the scientific theory that, well, it is. It's just a matter of focusing, shifting from one reality to the other based on what you observe. But the law of attraction is get what you want by, you know, focusing on this particular thing. I don't know. One seems a little bit more objective. The other seems a little bit more subjective, I guess.
To me, it's still in the realm of words that we're using law of attraction or quantum reality, and law of attraction is taken on more of a pop culture, almost a spiritual philosophical idea, whereas quantum reality is still more in the scientific tone, the scientific idea of reality. If we look at it from a religious standpoint and a non-religious standpoint, let's say I want to become an actor, you know, well, from a religious standpoint, we're going to go with let's go with Christianity. Why not? It's easy. All I have to say is, you know, I give myself over to God and he will guide me to what I need to do. Well, from a non-spiritual perspective, we say, well, let's take some acting classes and maybe move to areas where they have a large acting groups or large acting communities, such as Los Angeles or New York. Well, those are not necessarily the opposite, but they have a different focus because, you know, if you're coming from the Christianity standpoint that I mentioned just now, it'd be like, well, maybe God will guide me to go over here to this acting class where I'll meet this person where they'll know somebody in, you know, LA or New York, and, you know, then I can get into the whole acting thing that way, as opposed to the other way where it's just like, well, I have choices where I can find acting classes here, or I can, you know, take a big leap and just go to LA right now, or I can go to New York right now. And those two choices from those two perspectives will have possibly the same outcomes, but they might have slightly different outcomes. And that's
I would say that they would have different outcomes.
And exactly. And that's what I'm saying is because it's just the words that you use and the words have power and the way that you perceive things and the way you perceive things creates your perception of contrast of this or that, this or something better or, you know, whatever. And so with quantum stuff, I see what you're saying where if I understand what you're saying correctly, what you're saying is all possibilities and all probabilities exist simultaneously. And it's only when we choose to observe a certain reality, a certain probability, and a certain path that reality becomes real and everything else kind of, well, I don't want to say it disintegrates because it's still there. It's just not, it's like lights being, it's still lights there, but their lights are off instead of the path that you're on where the light is on. Where law of attraction is, to me, is very much the same way where you have an option where you make a choice where you want something anyway. Like the whole idea with ice cream, it's like, okay, all possibilities are open. I can, if I'm walking down and there's I have the option to go to the ice cream place. I have a option to turn around and go back. I have where I just came from. I have the option to continue going forward and see the car wreck. I have the option to, walk in the middle of the street. I have the option to stop, sit down, and take a nap. In quantum, all these possibilities exist. And it's not until I choose one of these possibilities to observe, to engage in, that they become real. And I'm saying with law of attraction, it's the same thing where, let's say I'm walking down the street and I find people in pain to be very difficult to observe. Well, then all of a sudden I have this thought of, ice cream would sound really good right now, because my intuition is able to say, in this possibility, if you continue going down, you're going to see something that you're not going to be very happy with because it causes you pain in the past. It's causes you pain. So we're going to redirect you by causing an interest in something else that you can take a different path for right here. To me, they sound very similar, very much along the same lines as, if I want to become an actor, I got to do this, this, and this. Or I want to become an actor, I'll put my faith in God, and we'll see what happens.
Okay.
Does that make sense?
Yeah, it does. I think the thing about the law of attraction versus the quantum thing is that the quantum, first of all, if we look at just what it means to have a focus on a specific probability, it's to have a focus, to have an experience, to watch all these things kind of play out. And the quantum mechanics says that basically these things exist. What we're doing is we're following the pattern and we're watching all these fractals start in chaos theory, as it goes, start to kind of create more and more patterns, with these patterns being a response or a trail that we're following based on the, in quotes, I say, choice we make, or based on the focus that we take.
Okay.
And it's just going to go that way, whichever choice we make, whatever choice we take. The law of attraction, when we start talking law of attraction stuff, that's more like, now how do we make this work to get what we want?
So
and
what...
that's where I see the difference. And the difference is kind of just one's more existential and one's just kind of more, I don't know, maybe woo-woo, as it were.
What it sounds like it is, if you're talking about... if you use those same descriptions that you just used right there for like Fred McMulderberry and Fred McMulderberry's wife, I think Gloria, let's say Gloria was the first example that, that you described. What I would say is you just described Fred McMulderberry as being more ambitious than Gloria, because he uses the law of attraction as opposed to Gloria, who uses quantum reality, quantum mechanics, where they both can still work and they can work well for the people that use them, but one is more of an active, more, let's storm the castle gates to, and take over the place, as opposed to, well, the castle gates have a possibility of deteriorating and the people have to get food sooner or later. So we'll just make sure that they can't get any supplies and they'll have to come out sooner or later or they'll die. That's what I saw with the descriptions that you just made, is law of attraction is more ambitious than the quantum mechanics. And I don't see it that
I don't
way.
Know if it, I would say that it's not more ambitious. I would say the whole quantum mechanics, to just look at things just be, one thing affecting another by observation, to me that's a little bit more zen.
Mm-hmm.
It's more just, it's more existential. It's more zen. It's just this more, just, to me, if you want to take it from a philosophical aspect, the idea of quantum mechanics allows us to accept that it is an experience and there's value in the experience no matter the experience. The law of attraction... sometimes I think what it says is, I don't like this experience and I want this experience instead. Well, my question is why are you having the experience you're having? If you're focusing on the experience you want, which again, if according to the law of attraction, if you want something, you're a want is from a place of not having. And if you're in a place of not having, you're focusing on the not having and you continue to not have that very thing you want. And you continue to want that thing that you don't have. And it's a vicious circle. So the law of attraction almost seems self-defeating in that way. Why even want? If that's the case, if the law of attraction really works, then basically you just say, you know what, I don't want anything. I'm good. And then you should have everything. It's almost a contradiction with the law of attraction where if you just take quantum and say that this is all just for the sake of exploration to see what fractals I'm creating, to see what chaos is born out of choice, and you just look at it and you say, wow, that's kind of interesting. Without, you know, that intensity behind it. And this is, I'm just throwing this out there.
Yeah.
More
okay.
than anything.
Gotcha.
So I just kind of, that's the whole thing. And the law of attraction, I always wonder that whole thing with the law of attraction is, yeah, if you want something and you know, like I said about wanting the conflict between wanting and not having.
And I think that's true to a point, but I think there also comes the point where one of the other things that you hear a lot in Law of Attraction is find the best way to be happy most often. And if you're in a place of positive energy, of positive thought, of positive emotions, then if you see something that you want, you know, if I change the word from want to contrast of, you know, oh, hey, you know, my life is good. I'm a triple billionaire. I have the perfect wife and the perfect kids and the perfect job. Unless if I want it, I get to do anything I want every time I want, and life is exciting.
What's the point of being alive?
No. But the thing is, in a quantum state, that experience is valuable just in and of itself. In a law of attraction state, it's more of, hey, you know, I may have all this stuff and I feel really good, and it's, let me see, 5:30, 6 o'clock at night. I want steak. Oh, I just had a thought that I don't have, and that means that I'm not going to get because I want something. Like, no. If you feel good from a law of attraction standpoint a lot of the time, then you're putting out positive vibes for whatever you want. In a quantum state, from what I understand, it's just a matter of where you put your perception, where you put your focus, where you put your idea of, you know, you're the same triple billionaire with a, you know, perfect wife, perfect kids, perfect life, everything. And, you know, you can sit there and from a quantum perspective, you're like, I'm getting hungry. Maybe I should eat. What should I eat? What do we have? I can have anything. I want steak. You know, you see what I'm saying? Is there a difference in those two things, in those two perspectives, from a quantum perspective and a law of attraction perspective?
Yeah, it seems like the law of attraction thing just has a bigger appetite than the quantum thing.
And that's what I was talking about earlier, where from your description, it sounded like you're saying the law of attraction idea is, or the law of attraction philosophy is,
well,
more
okay.
ambitious.
I want to, it seems more ambitious, but here's the thing about it is with the law of attraction idea, when you said it's all about, you know, trying to keep a feeling good state as much and as often as possible. But if also the law of attraction is based on choice and contrast of choice, then not feeling good must be absolutely critical to getting what you want.
What? Okay, hold on. Say that again.
Yes. And that's, you know, it's
okay. I think I see where you're going, because you're saying that not feeling good is absolutely critical to getting what you want from a law of attraction perspective, because it shows you contrast from where you are to what you want.
Exactly.
And how is that different from quantum?
Oh, it's not different from quantum, but the thing is the law of attraction. If you're saying try to keep yourself in a place where you feel good as often as possible, then what you're going to do is spending all this time avoiding the places that don't make you feel good, and maybe you're bypassing some valuable experience.
Well, then we should just feel bad all the time just so we don't miss any experience.
No, I'm saying this. I'm saying Why focus on so much trying to feel good and trying to feel good and trying to feel good and avoiding the bad, avoiding the bad, avoiding the bad, rather than just accepting that there is beautiful richness in the experience?
Well, that's a given right there.
No, it's not. Not to the law of attraction theory. The law of attractions focus on all things good and wonderful and, you know, dancing fairies and leprechauns and things like that. And then your world will be filled with flowers and millionaires.
Well, that's when you first get into the law of attraction and you actually first kind of, you know, get into the whole pop culture idea, philosophy of it. But when you actually start going down deeper into the idea,
it's a bait and switch thing. You know what it is? The law of attraction is when you get off that plane and the guy meets you in the airport and says, "Hey, I tell you what, you will get a whole free meal if you sit through a 4-hour lecture on how great this condo is and that you need to buy it." That's what that is. That whole law of attraction thing about, you know, get all the things you want. It's the condo guy.
And my question is, what are you serving? Because I may not have had it before, and I may want that experience of having that. Are you serving caviar? Because I've never eaten caviar.
No, they're not serving caviar. There's no way. They're probably opening up these 55-gallon drums of hot dogs and mincing them down and putting yellow food coloring on them. I don't know.
Well, see, and that's where you make the choice of, you got to come and see this presentation on these condos, and we'll feed you a really nice meal afterwards. Well, what do you consider a nice meal? What are you be serving? Like hot dogs and potato salad. Okay, I'll pass. I'll choose to pass and buy dinner on my own.
Well, look, okay, so with the law of attraction thing, it's the putting yourself in this good state and all that other stuff. If you're in that state, then you really don't want for much. You see what I'm saying? It's like, it's a handbook that you don't really need, the whole law of attraction thing. If you're really playing by the rules of law of attraction, you don't need a handbook. It's already working out for you because you're already in that state. And when you're not in that state, you accept it as, well, this is just kind of the path of process. Remember, we've talked about maybe the fifth dimension will be where we can manifest things and they'll be instant.
Yeah.
Well, it defeats the purpose to some degree of the current, and I say current because that could change, the current state of experience, which is that things don't happen instantly because we have to learn the process of things not happening instantly. That is the dynamic of human physical existence. That is playing with the quantum state, with having things come into, in quotes, reality, or in quotes, come into focus. That is what it's all about. Things coming into focus because we are playing with quantum states on a material realm where things take time to manifest, where things take time to come to fruition. And there is the experience of all that happening in between what we're setting out and what we're creating. And I think it should be law of creation, not law of attraction, personally. Because here's the thing about the law of attraction that I have trouble with, too, as opposed to the quantum state, is the law of attraction implies that basically we are not the universe. It's here, us, and then there's the universe. We put ourselves in this state to so that the universe can give us what, you know, this thing that is like, of a like vibration, of an alike, to attract to us, you see. Where if we are the universe, it's already there. And we've already grabbed on to it. And it's there. It's within us. And it's just a matter of us realizing it rather than, you know, doing this. I feel good. I feel wonderful. And the universe is like, I hear you. I'm sending you a carrier pigeon with the thing that you want strapped to its leg. Stand by. You know, it just is like, really? Do we not get any credit in creating this? Or are we just these little radio antennas saying, universe, please bring me this thing. Please bring me the house, the wife, the two kids, and $1 million. You know? So that's the biggest. And the quantum thing basically says all things occur in all places at all times, all once. They're already real because we're part of that state. We are quantum in the state, so we can basically shift and vibrate into whatever state that is already there just by our own focus. It gives us more power than the law of attraction, I think, does. The law of attraction says, you know, well, you know, you just put it out there. I'm like, put it out where? If everything's internal, if everything's inside, then what are you putting it out? Aren't you actually losing your grip on it to put it out there, so to say?
I'll give you an example. I have 100 jelly beans. I put them on a plate. I put them in front of you. which jelly bean do you pick first?
None. I don't like jelly beans.
Now, how does that apply to the quantum state?
You tell me. Where are you going?
Okay.
I'm not following the analogy.
I was really hoping you'd pick at least one jelly bean.
Well, see, there you go. See, you were counting on me to pick that jelly bean. Me in the quantum state, I'm just like, what came my way? A bunch of jelly beans? I don't want them. Move on. You see what I'm saying?
And that's like the guy with the condo with a meal afterwards if you listen to his presentation.
Well, here, let me tell you why I think there's value in what we just said about the whole jelly bean
thing.
Is there, have you ever seen a show called Shark Tank?
Yeah.
Okay. So you know the premise of it.
Yeah, that right? A bunch of investors that and they bring in people that have an idea that they want them to be invested in, and they say they give them a short pitch of why they should give them money and, you know, develop their product or their idea more, and the sharks either say yay or nay.
Yeah, exactly. Well, the example I want to use is I was watching an episode of this where a person, he was at this business for 10 years trying to get this thing off the ground. And they said, okay, so what's going on with 10 years? What would you have with our money that would make you, that would set you apart tomorrow than what you have today? And the guy says, a team. And they said, what do you mean a team? They said, well, I just need the team to work with that is this. And one of them, a lot of them said the same thing, these sharks. The sharks said, my problem with where you are is you are counting on somebody else to make this happen for you rather than counting on your own innate abilities. You're waiting for someone else to do something for you to make this happen. And so that's the whole thing about the law of attraction. It's almost like waiting for the universe to make this happen for you rather than saying, I need to do what I need to do to make this happen. And then the merits and whatever actions you're taking, where the whole idea of quantum is that I'm focusing on a particular state and I'm in this state based on what I'm focusing on rather than, you know, trying to, you know, sweet talk the universe and bribe the universe or whatever we're doing with the universe. I don't know.
You are really kicking the law of attraction in the gut this episode.
Yeah, I am.
You're like, law of attraction, take that.
And, you know, let me take it back a notch. And I will say that unfortunately, this is where I think the law of attraction does a disservice. And I think that there's a great amount of merit in the idea of a law of attraction. And I think there's a great amount of merit in the principles behind the law of attraction. But I would think it would be a more accurate thing to call it the law of creation, personally, because then that empowers people more. And I like the idea of quantum mechanics because it is empowering. It says, if I observe something, I affect that reality purely by observing it, which basically says that you constantly affect your reality through your observations and through your choices, you see.
Exactly. And for me, from my perspective, is when you get into law of attraction and you get past the top talking points, basically law of attraction 101, and you actually dig deeper into it, I think you start to realize that the way that the law of attraction works is, you know, in symbiosis with the quantum reality, and you actually hold that point, those points, what you're talking about, at the same time. And when you're able to do that at the same time, where you're basically able to be in the moment and enjoy the moment for the moment itself, and then, you know, if you want to be okay with wherever you are in the moment, when you're able to make the choices that are based more on, oh, this is the experience I'm having, these are the choices I have, I want to go this way, or I want to make this choice, as opposed to if you're not okay with the moment where you're in right now, you start to make choices to get out of it at any way, shape, or form. It's kind of like a animal being a bear trapped in a bear trap. If you're trapped there long enough, the animal's like, well, I'm trapped. I have the option to either stay here trapped and in pain, or I can gnaw off my paw and be able to go and, you know, still maybe live, but I'll still be in pain until it heals. to me, that's what I see as the deeper understanding of the law of attraction is when it actually does combine with quantum mechanics and quantum reality to create that moment, that area, that place where you are in connection and in alignment with the universe. Okay.
Stop. Because you said you said the connection and the creation in alignment with the law of the universe thing here. So, and once we went to the law of the universe itself, it's like, then again, but we're already in creation with the universe. And when we say that we're trying to learn to be, then we're denying the fact that we already are. And to use your bear trap analogy, if you go, say if it's a human being, and the human being is, well, you're walking down the path and you get your foot caught in a bear trap, and you're saying, oh, well, I have a choice to either sever my foot or to starve? I don't remember what the other choice was. So, but here's the thing about that is, as a human being, then what happens is we lose our foot and then we walk down whatever path and get caught in another bear trap. And so all we're doing is examining the fact that, you know, we're dealing with this bear trap choice when the bear trap springs us, rather than saying, so what we do is we spend all our days never going into the woods again because there may be another bear trap, rather than just trying to figure out, why did we take that path in the first place? What did we want from it? What was on that path? If we don't have what we want, then make a different choice. To me, it's like we're already making choices to have what we want, but we have what we want and we think we don't want it, but we really do. And once we can figure out why we have what we have is based on what we have is based on what we want, why is it that we wanted that to begin with? And if we figure out why we wanted it, we can figure out why we have it. And that, to me, is how we play in line with the universe, because then we realize if we are the universe, we're not waiting for the universe to give us everything. We're giving everything to ourselves. We are creating our circumstances and our realities. It's not just a matter of, you know, we'll just make a different choice. You're making the choices based on something you want. So figure out why you want what you want. And you see what I'm saying?
Exactly. And that's kind of where I was going there when I was saying being in line with the universe for creation is because I was assuming that most people want to have a more positive experience, more positive experiences with life, as opposed to more negative experiences.
Well, you may assume that, but that's not true, because people make choices to give them negative experiences, as we put it in quotes, negative experiences. And if they obviously are drawn to having those negative experiences, because in many, many cases, they make the choices to bring them there. So, yeah, they may tell you. I mean, haven't you had people say, well, I want this, but then they do the opposite. And you're like, do you really want that?
Mm-hmm.
No, they want the opposite. And so they're making the choices to get them the opposite. So, yeah, you can say a lot of people want that. And I would disagree that. If a lot of people wanted to feel good, they wouldn't be watching, mainstream media news, because there's nothing good about it. It doesn't make you feel good. You don't walk away saying, man, so many people died and murdered and we got killed and explosions happening. I feel great. It just doesn't happen. But they chose to turn on the TV and they chose to sit down in front of that and they chose to open up the newspaper. So what I'm saying is this, no, I disagree that people don't necessarily, they'll tell you, I want to feel good. But they're just telling you that. And they think that they want to feel good, but they are, the proof's in the pudding.
Yeah.
Is what I'm saying.
And that's what I was talking about earlier when we were discussing a few minutes ago. It's like, just because you are unaware of the choices you have and of what you're attracting, doesn't mean you're still not attracting, because you're always attracting something. You're always bringing something into your reality with every quantum reality moment that you have.
Right. You're always creating something.
Exactly. You're always creating something regardless of whether you're aware of it or not. And that's what I'm talking about, is because to me, the more you're from the quantum state, you're always in the moment to have anything and everything you want at that moment. And it's very Zen. It's very Buddhist, if you want to go that way and look at it from that perspective. From the law of attraction, it's also, you can have anything you want, and you're open to any possibility at that moment, because everything that you do starts with a thought, and you can only have a thought in a moment. And you, of course, you have moment after moment after moment, and to me, it's kind of like one of those things where what you're talking about, where people choose for whatever reason to have negative experiences. And when you said that, I was like, oh, so this is kind of like Edison in the light bulb, where he's just like, click, oh, that didn't work. Okay, let's try it again. Click, that didn't work. You're basically having negative experiences to have a full understanding of how things work from that perspective. And if you want to go over here, then they'll work that way. And basically, you're finding out a whole bunch of ways that things don't work, so that you know how things will work when you actually get there. And, you know, a lot of people, you know, maybe their intuition for whatever reason is leading them along the lines of that negative experiences, so that they can get that understanding, so that they can have that experience of, oh, you know, when I stick my hand in a wall socket, it's excruciatingly painful. Well, if I ever want to have that experience again, I know where I just need to find a wall socket, you know, as opposed to I choose not to have that experience ever again. And so I'm going to avoid sticking my finger in a live wall socket. You know, that's only for, you know, electronics and plugs and stuff like that. So I could see why some people might, for whatever reason, choose to have negative experiences. On the other hand, I believe a lot of people, when they start becoming more aware of how the choices that they make and the experiences that those choices lead them to affect their overall being, then it becomes much easier to make more and more choices that lead you further and further to a more positive overall state of mind. And that's where the law of attraction is basically taking it, is because it says, if you're in a more positive state of mind more often, then that colorizes your perception, which colorizes your judgment, which leads you to choices that you have. And that basically, you will make choices that lead you to better, more positive options if you're in a more positive state. And from a quantum reality, a quantum state, if you're in the moment and if you're in a quantum state of more positivity more often, then you're also going to do the same thing. You're creating a momentum of positivity, as it were, of a positive mental state, where over time it's going to, you know, snowball and get larger and larger and larger and create more and more momentum. And that's why I see them as very much the same, as opposed to you know, basically different. But I see what you're saying, where you're saying that, you know, the quantum idea, with the example that I was using earlier with the jelly beans, you know, the whole idea was like, here's 100 jelly beans, you know, take one. And like, I don't want to take any. Like, ah, what I was going to go on with that is you pick one up and it's like, okay, let's say you picked up jelly bean number 45. Why did you pick jelly bean 45 as opposed to any other jelly bean? And that's kind of like the quantum reality, where it's like, all options are available. Every jelly bean is a reality, a possibility of a probability. And so you observed one, you made a choice, you picked that one, it became the jelly bean that you ate. Mm-hmm. And that's kind of like how I see the whole thing. And I still don't see a difference between the two.
Okay. I'm going to do this. This is going to be my summation.
Okay.
This is going to be kind of how I wrap it all up. I see the difference between the two. Yeah, I understand what you're saying, that they do work on the same principle.
Yes.
Basically, what you're saying, what I understand you're saying is the law of attraction works on basically the quantum principle.
Mm-hmm, exactly.
That's the way I see you seeing it. And yeah, very much it does. I think it's all about really perspective and application of the law of attraction versus quantum state. I think it's, and I think I like the quantum state because it is very... It's very just this kind of existential property, where the law of attraction is kind of the, it's almost too Western in its way. It's like, because the example you used was this, and you said in this, you said, well, this person has all this stuff and it's all stuff oriented. It tends to be stuff oriented. It does. It just does. I think it does. I think it's the carrot on the stick is, like you said, when you're first indoctrinated into the whole law of attraction idea, you're given the idea, well, you could have everything you want. It's like when I did that whole Buddhism thing, where basically said, you know, you chant, you get what you want, and you did. It was amazing. And I'm like, okay, well, what if you ran out of stuff to get? Then what do you do? But so to me, it boils down to this. It feels like if you talk to anybody about quantum mechanics versus law of attraction, it distills down to law of attraction is that you can have anything you want. Mm-hmm. Where quantum mechanics is you do have anything you want. That's the big difference to me, is the law of attraction tends to focus kind of on an out there thing. And I know what you're saying. You're saying if you focus on a being okay in the moment, then the future is going to be great for you. And I'm like, well, if you're okay in the moment, why are you worried about the future in that regard? You see what I'm saying? So where the quantum mechanics is basically saying, I'm constantly creating the state I'm in. So what I like about it is you get every moment is a do-over. You get a do-over to recreate that state. And then once you've recreated that state, you move on and you may have another state that you can recreate the feeling that you're in. And the law of attraction is this kind of, you know, I don't know, it feels very treadmill to me. So it's like it's there, the principles on the functions feel the same to me, but I think it's kind of how we want to apply them seems different to me.
Gotcha. And I think with that, we'll wrap it up. So David and I would like to thank you for listening to this episode. If this is your first time listening to us, we hope you've enjoyed it. And we hope we've probably stretched your mind at least a little bit. And if you're a longtime listener, we thank you for continuing to come and listen to David and I explore the realities within our reality.
And if you'd like to get more information as far as our episodes and some of the show notes that refer to the topics we talked about in this episode, come see us at TakeTheRedPillPodcast.com. Find all the episodes there. You can also find them on iTunes under podcasts, Take the Red Pill, and join our Facebook page, TTRP Podcast, where we're posting all sorts of other things that kind of explore the realities within our reality, as it were. Feel free to leave us comments and feedback in any of those areas.
So for Take the Red Pill, I am Donald Dalton, wishing your life to be nothing but a quantum possibility.
And I'm David Deer. Wherever you are, I'm going to leave it there.
Wherever you are.
Wherever you are.
I'm here.
Wherever you are. Nothing profound, just kind of weird.